Divorce is one of the sad realities of our world, as it seems it was also in the world of Jesus. There are very few families and groups of friends that have not been touched by the heartache of separation and divorce. I suspect that my immediate family, where my parents and my four siblings are all in multi-decade marriages, makes us rather unusual. The reality is that making a lifelong commitment in a relationship that is healthy and fruitful for all involved is always immensely difficult. It becomes even more challenging when there is a public dimension to the marriage. The award-winning TV drama The Crown reminds us of all the political sensitivity of divorce with Charles and Diana in the royal family during the 1990s. The lectionary today cuts out the first line from the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, which tells us that the Pharisees come and ask this question of Jesus in the region of Judea around the Jordan, the area where John the Baptist was doing his ministry. What happened to him? He ended up in prison and finally lost his head because he dared to criticize Herod Antipas for marrying his brother's wife. That is why they are testing him. They are trying to trap him and get him arrested at the very moment when he's beginning his journey to Jerusalem. And his thick disciples are finally understanding that he is the true Messiah and what that means. Jesus agrees that when people have hard hearts, then the original intention that God has for us needs to be modified. What you get is not the ideal, but something that is the second best reality. So Jesus points us back to the original ideal of marriage that we heard in our first reading from Genesis 2. When they are back in the house, away from the Pharisees, he speaks more about the particular situation of Herod's marriage. Since he was addressing one marriage, in prudence, we should have been way more careful in deriving more general principles from this one instance. Jesus also reminds us that children are often devastated in any marriage breakdown, and the seemingly hard line that he takes is in part to protect the truly weak and vulnerable from harm. So, what is the ideal? Genesis 2:18 says that it is not good for the human to be alone. So God promises to make an etsa kenegdo for him, a helper as his partner. Elsewhere, this word etsa is used to describe God as the indispensable other, the deliverer for God's people. So a more complete translation of this verse would read something like, "It is not good for the human to be solitary. I will make one who can deliver him from his inability to fulfill the divine commission alone, one who mirrors him." Just as the Adam was fashioned from the soil, so God begins to fashion all the wild beasts and the birds of the sky. None of these is intended as an etza kenegdo. God is inviting the human into this role of sharing responsibility for creation, calling it and naming it to become what it was truly meant to be. We are told that God then causes this deep sleep to fall on the human, a tadama. The word is used to demonstrate the inability of the partners of God from providing their own help, such as when God wants to make the covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15, and he causes this tadama, this deep sleep, to fall on Abraham as God himself alone walks between the two sets of halved animals that represent the covenant. Or Daniel, when God wants to speak to him in these deep and powerful visions, he causes this tadama to fall upon him. It's also used when people are acting against God to prevent them messing things up even more. So we'll be reading from the book of Jonah this week in our weekday masses. So there, when he's in the boat, God causes this tadama to fall on him. Or Saul and his soldiers when they're trying to kill King David. Again, a deep sleep is given to them to prevent them from killing David. So God takes the initiative to prevent the human from attempting to create his own help, his own etzah. Finally, we're told that God takes a tesela from the side of the man while he is in this tadama. Unfortunately, this very common Hebrew word is translated here as rib. In the other 41 occurrences that we find across the Hebrew scriptures, it's translated as side. So all the other occurrences are architectural in this sacred and beautiful context, the building of the tabernacle or the temple. It's the same here. And God took one from the human side and he clothed flesh in its place, and he built the side into a woman. So God essentially cuts Adam in half and builds the woman from his side. You cannot get a stronger and clearer statement that the two sexes are meant for each other as equal and complementary. Imagine how the world may have developed if our biblical theology had been more truly built on the radical sexual equality that should be its basis. We cannot image God into the world when we are alone and isolated. We need each other to call and invite creation more deeply into the worship of God. One of the most beautiful ways of doing this is through the sacred intimacy of the marriage covenant. Marriage will never be easy. So let us bring all those who are married to this Eucharist and commit to interceding for them and with them.